Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion. As you can see, many people are wearing red or bright colored things this morning. And to explain why I asked everybody to do that, I'm going to do a quick church history lesson. Today we're celebrating Pentecost. Pentecost is Greek and means 50th. So it ends the season, Pentecost ends the season of Easter, and is the Sabbath day closest to the 50th day after Easter. In the church calendar, from here until Advent, Protestants call this time, like they name all the Sundays, like the 6th Sunday after Easter, or after Pentecost, or the 28th Sunday after Pentecost, et cetera, et cetera. It basically means that there's nothing special about this time. It's just after Pentecost, before Advent. Catholics call this time Ordinary Time, which sort of sums it up well, and is a little more easier to say than the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Pentecost actually predates Christianity and Judaism, but Jews made it into a celebration of ways to be thankful to God for the first harvest, and it was the 50th day after Passover. So during Jesus' time, or right after Jesus died and then was resurrected, the disciples, there's a whole bunch of them, not just the 12, were gathered for Pentecost anyway, and it became a whole new thing because then the Holy Spirit showed up. So we're going to hear about that story in both the Acts and John version later in the service. But now we've gotten to why we're wearing brightly colored clothes, and that is because Pentecost is all about the Holy Spirit. So one of the ways to mark the occasion, it's sort of like wearing a party hat, is wearing red or orange or yellow or other flame-colored clothing, because they represent the flame of the Holy Spirit. And this is the type of flame that, well, it's not the type of flame that consumes and destroys. It's the type of flame that warms and energizes and excites and empowers. And another symbol of Pentecost is wind. And our English word spirit comes from the Latin word spiritus, which also means breathe. So Pat's sermon today is going to be about breath and breathing. And one of the scriptures for today that we're not going to be reading is as a congregation, but if you want to note it and read it later, it is Psalms 104, 24 to 34. And the psalm starts out with, "O Lord, how manifold are your works," and then goes on to marvel at the creation and bless God for the power and wisdom and generosity we see in creation. And it talks about God's care for all creatures in the world and how that care is steadfast. And in the commentary of my Bible, it talks about how we should all take every breath as a gift. And it sort of guards against self-entitlement and making sure that, and self-sufficiency. And so if we think about breathing as a gift, and hopefully you'll keep that in mind for the rest of the service, it can help us think about not just us, but everybody. So, if anybody has announcements, they can come forward at this time.
These are both in your bulletin, so I'm just bringing your attention to them a second time. There will be a bridal shower for Taylor Berkey in 2 weeks on Saturday, June 17th, here at Zion at 2 p.m. And also for next Sunday, this next Sunday will be Baptism Sunday, so the message, the focus, will be around baptism with our three senior boys here preparing for that. And as we leave this worship service, we will go over to Canby Grove for their baptism. So the bulletin doesn't really say that first we're going to meet here for worship, and then we will get out early enough to go and be a part of their baptisms at Canby Grove. Thank you.
Okay, so we will do the call to worship now. And you guys will be reading the bolded and italicized bits of it. And I will be reading the normal font. The Spirit descends like a dove, bringing peace to unite the world in a just and caring community. The Spirit spreads like fire, bringing energy for witnessing to the love of God. I will now be reading from Acts 2:1-21. And it's long, but it's a story, so it's easier to follow along. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were meeting. So if you guys can, like, imagine this, that will help it stick. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show them portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." We will sing.
Please take your blue hymnals and turn to number 6. In the blue hymnal, number 6, I'm going to invite you to stand also.
Thank you.
over to 299, new earth, heavens new, Spirit of God moving. Please turn to number 26. Number 26 in the blue hymnal. Holy Spirit, come with power. Come and breathe into our aching night.
We are here for your reign. to number 73 and sing The Journey and have that ready. And notice the list in the bulletin of our graduates, and somehow there are a couple of them got missed. Jason Oyer and Seth Ettinger are also college graduates. So make sure to add them to your list. And we'd like to especially recognize our high school graduates today. So we'd ask Harrison, Drew, Cameron, Jared, please come. And the people who are going to give them the comforters. So, when you cover yourselves with these comforters, please remember that you are covered with the love and prayers of this congregation. And let's sing our prayer for you.
Ushers, please come forward. And bow your heads. Lord, please bless these gifts as well as the people that are giving them. Amen. I'll be reading from John 19, or rather 20, 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.
Please turn to number 25 in the blue hymnal, Jesus Stand Among Us. We're going to just sing Lulu through the song once, then we'll sing the two verses, then I'd like to end on Lou again, so you can just follow me. Number 25. As
Pastor Matthew knew that they would be gone for this Sunday and their daughter's wedding, and the question was, what do we do with this message? I like Pentecost. I look forward to Pentecost in the church year, and I love the story in Acts. Matthew sent me the scriptures for this Sunday, and in them was the passage from John 20. I've never thought to spend a lot of time on that. I'm certainly aware of that passage and am intrigued by it. But the Acts passage is so glamorous. It's so exciting. It's so full of stuff. Wouldn't that be a good one to speak on? But I was drawn to John 20. And there's a practice that I've known that I want to ask us for this morning, that as the pastor comes, as the one who brings the message in a responsorial greeting with the congregation, and a just paraphrase of passing the peace, may the Lord be with you, and the congregation responds, and also with you. So I invite us to do that this morning as I say, may the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Thank you. As we look at Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the new believers, those who are followers of Jesus, I want us to hold together in this thought that we remember Christ's commission and the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And so it's in that vein that we want to consider this passage in John 20, holding the commission of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, we are looking at the evening of Resurrection Day. Last Sunday was Ascension Sunday, 40 days after the resurrection, and Pentecost comes a week later from that event as people calculate things. But we're moving back to Resurrection Evening for the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a Pentecost account of the Holy Spirit coming, and we tend to overlook it and feature so much the passage that Luke tells us. Peace be with you. I've thought if there's any time that anyone could feel like locking themselves into a room, shutting the door, closing the windows, pulling the blinds, and shut out the rest of the world, it's right now in 2017. Do I really want to know what's going on? There's terror to women and to children. There's famine and there's starvation. Brutal executions. There's lies and treacheries. And it feels like just too much. There's North Korea, there's South Sudan, there's Ethiopia, the Ukraine, there's North American indigenous people. There's crises in health and food and finances, there's wars and terror. There's environment and climate damage, dictatorships. I can't mention them all, but you can do your own search and find out just how much terror has come about in the first 5 months of 2017. How many times have we known an emotional feeling in what we've heard or what we've said to ourselves or to someone else? Just take a deep breath. And we make that comment when we sense the anxiety and the fear and the insecurity of whatever the situation that is happening around us. The material fact is that our breathing becomes constricted in fear. The body physically responds with its own reaction to the emotion of fear. Mentally, for the moment, the brain refuses to send a breathe message. Physiologically, within the body, the lungs constrict, the diaphragm tightens, and breath comes shallow and quick, and literally breathing becomes labored. Physically, we notice the body may tremble, perspire, go faint, and the voice may change in an outward evidence of fear. Body functions can lose their control. To the extent of your fear or anxiety in the moment and the situation is your physical reaction. Let me say it another way. However much you are anxious or afraid will be the response of your body physically to that fear. I don't know what you have experienced of such fear. When fear took over your physical body and your brain, you might remember such a time and realize this was going on inside of you. I discovered one time that I could not stop my knees from trembling. They literally were hitting, knocking against each other. Never happened before nor since, but that was a surprise for me. In recent years, I found myself intrigued and reading a number of novels and stories, fiction, nonfiction, of the terror that was happening in Europe and in Germany in the early 1900s up through World War II, and primarily against the Jewish people. Or I can read the stories out of our own United States in the Deep South after the Civil War of the terror that resided among our African American folks. They were financially enslaved. Their schools and educational systems were decrepit, and there was lynchings, fear of lynching, injustice, inequality. And again, you can search that out to work in your own humility and conscience. Fear beyond control. Breathe. Just breathe. Do you remember the bulletin cover we had a couple weeks ago? when the heart is holding a tangled knot. That piece of art pictured for me a very troubled heart. Now, move yourself into the room with the disciples on the evening of Resurrection Day. Sit with them and sense their fear and lostness. It's not just a little mix of emotions in these 10 men, and I expect there were others gathered with them in that room that evening. And I think that I can sense their emotions as palpable. It's real and it's overwhelming. This very day, the resurrection day, they've heard from early morning on that Jesus is out of the tomb. It's riveting news and it's mystifying. And can we really believe Mary Magdalene that she saw the Lord? So we've locked the doors. We are known to be Jesus' people. And are they going to come for us next? We don't know. But we try to protect ourselves. And it's into this mood Jesus appears, speaking, "Peace be with you." Now, that's a whole other range of emotions coming in. And I think you can imagine it for yourself. Do imagine it. Live into that experience of the disciples. Chuck Swindoll, who is a well-known Christian author and radio speaker, says a piece of advice that he received from a treasured mentor early in his ministry. If you wish to communicate the truth of Scripture, it is essential that you identify with the subject. And in the case this morning, that's Jesus' disciples. So some imagination is important for us in this experience of the disciples on resurrection evening. Peace be with you. This is a common greeting among the Jewish folk in Jesus' day, and a greeting used by the angels in the biblical story, along with another piece that they said, "Do not be afraid." This Hebrew greeting has a deeper and a wider meaning than just a simple, "Hello, how are you?" It conveys my greeting for a calm environment, contentment, and much more. Shalom, peace, wholeness, well-being, health, tranquility, prosperity, contentment, security. Shalom is a blessing. A manifestation of divine grace, peace be with you. In a sense, we could say it in a greeting that we say, "May it be well with you," or perhaps better yet, "God bless you." And I wish we'd say that more often when we greet each other, and I wish I would do that. "God bless you, peace be with you." Jesus repeats this greeting the second time. "Peace be with you." I believe this is the basis for his words that he says next. The peace that Jesus bestows on them is beyond and far more inclusive than the common greeting. We greet each other and we say, "How are you?" Perhaps not fully expecting any real reply to that question. I believe Jesus' repetition of these words may be said like this. "Peace be with you." You may have noticed, as I have noticed, and usually in biblical greetings, just go through the epistles, peace is part of that greeting. Grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul uses it often in his greetings. Paul is identifying the source of peace and the source of grace. These are the gift of Christ. And we know this by the Holy Spirit, who now is ours as well. The Gospel of John uses Jesus' words regarding peace earlier in a number of the discourses. John 14 and the long discourses, Jesus' prayer of John 17. These are implied in Jesus' teaching on the Advocate, the Comforter, the one coming alongside to be our constant companion. The peace I give you, the world cannot give. It cannot give because it is outside Jesus Christ. The world has no peace, deep, settled peace. That was the joy that Pastor Victor was preaching on last evening, that deep, settled peace that is there. The surface may appear unruffled, but underneath swirls and can easily erupt and disrupt into disorder. Just consider the litany that I had at the beginning when I began. He breathed, received the Holy Spirit, empowering by the Spirit. Consider for the word breath, wind, both in the Old and the New Covenant. In creation, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Ezekiel's dry bones breathe upon these dry bones. Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, we referred to that mighty rushing wind. And John 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it chooses, so it is with everyone who is born from above. Kiara mentioned the root meaning of this word wind and breath. It is also pneuma in the Greek. It's a word we incorporate in our own language. Pneumatic tools, pneumonia. It all deals with air, breath. John's gospel is full of imagery and metaphors. John wants the reader to get the idea, to understand the God-man who reveals God to us. God who gives us his very breath. God's Spirit. Peter uses the phrase in his epistle that caught my attention some years ago, born into a living hope. Peter uses this imagery of new birth as well, as Jesus did. That first gulp of breath that a newborn takes is always a moment of joy. It happened. Life. However, this phrase of Peter that caught my attention were in words that Peter is writing about hope. And I was stopped by this phrase, living hope. Did you ever hear of a dead hope? That's a wonderful thing to think about. Living hope. And I began to ponder the atmosphere into which that breath is being taken. It is hope, and it's hope in a resurrected Christ who now breathes into us his breath, his Spirit, to carry on the task of God's kingdom. The Gospel of John has many references to Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit for his followers. Jesus explains to the disciples. He gives them information and knowledge of the one who is taking his place when his physical presence is gone. They don't understand it. There's no way they can fathom it. It's incomprehensible. In the former covenant, written in the Old Testament, God's Spirit came upon individuals for a period of time. The prophets and the leaders for specific work that God had called them to. God empowered with special anointing for the work they were called to do. How could Moses lead this people, Israel, the multitude of frustrating, quarreling, whining, sinning, wandering throng? Only with God's Spirit. How could Deborah be willing to lead her people to victory? How else could the prophet Nathan confront King David? Or Elijah face off with Jezebel and her great prophets of Baal? Or Isaiah? Or Jeremiah? And the list goes on to John the Baptist. God's Spirit in the Old Covenant came for individuals for specific work. On the evening of Resurrection Day, Jesus fulfills that promise of Jeremiah. He breathes into them the Holy Spirit with these words, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Take it as a gift. Simply receive it. It's my part to reach out and accept. My peace, Jesus' peace, the Holy Spirit is your comforter, your teacher, your guide, your counselor, your advocate with the Father. Receive the Holy Spirit. And in so doing, you and I are now sent. A commission from the one who sent me, Jesus says, from the Father. As the Father, our God, sent me, Jesus, so I am sending you. You have a mission. You are commissioned. Forgiveness and reconciliation. And it seems to me Jesus adds a bit of a warning. And it may be a full in our face warning. Any sins you retain, they are not forgiven. Jesus' words, forgive us, forgive me our sins as I forgive the sins of others. And we use when we pray this old English word when we pray the Lord's Prayer, debts. That means our offenses and our sins and the responsibility we have in to give forgiveness. Jesus tells the story more than once and in more than one way to illustrate the responsibility and the accountability of forgiveness. The parable of the unforgiving servant who received forgiveness of a tremendous debt and then turned around and enslaved another indebted to him. Jesus had harsh words for that servant. Very harsh. And we now, all these centuries later, have titled him the unforgiving servant. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, speaks of himself and includes us all this time later as ambassadors for Christ, receiving and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. Forgiveness is a work of reconciliation. Some of us can roll into situations and conversations like the little boy Pigpen in the cartoon Peanuts, with the dust ball following Pigpen everywhere he went. Sometimes we have a dust ball of commotion coming along with us. So I'm challenged by this thought to speak peace into the commotion, into the turmoil, into grief and loss, even transition. Peace be with you. The Holy Spirit breathed into us breath that began at birth, new breath, new birth, Jesus said. This is new beginning, new breath, new air, new oxygen, the breath of life, the breath of God. Let's pray.
This morning, Jesus invites us to the Lord's table. He calls us out of the shadows, out of the graves, to be known and entirely filled with God's presence. Jesus calls us all who were made in God's own image, all who breathe the breath of God's Spirit, the Spirit of life. Jesus calls us to the table, to the meal that nourishes our bodies and binds our dry bones into one body, the living Christ. So I invite you this morning, come to this table, you who are beloved in Christ. Come not because you must, but because you may. Come as we remember the sacrifice of Christ for the sin of the world. Eating and sharing at his table is an encounter with the risen Lord, a feeding on him in faith, communion with one another in his body, the church, and an anticipation of the day when he will come again. Would you pray with me? Lord, your steadfast love has been ours for generations. And this morning, as we gather at your holy table, we invite your presence and your Spirit to be with us in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Let us feel the warmth of your life-giving blood flowing through us. Let us feel the fullness of your love as we share bread and body together. Lift from our hearts the burden of sin and guilt. Release from us the disapproval of our conscience and help us walk with renewed strength the path before us. Together, Lord, make us part of your body in the world, bearing your creative and redeeming love to a hurting creation. Amen. I'd like to invite the elders to come forward at this time to help in serving communion. I'd like to give a few instructions. This morning we're going to serve the bread and the cup together. So as you take the bread, hold it. As you take the cup, hold it, and after all have been served, then we will eat and drink together. So I'm asking you where you're sitting to kind of help each other with the tray, and as you're holding your bread, we're asking you to take the cup too. So it's going to be a little bit of juggling, but we're asking you to help one another, and as we serve, you will stay seated. And also, there's grapes that are available. Karen will have grapes if you would like to take a grape. Come to the table, those that have been baptized in the Lord, and receive the bread and the cup. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord God took the bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body. Do this and remember me." And after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." As often as we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Would you join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord, this bit of wine and this bit of bread, we taste and see that you are good. We are grateful for this act that Jesus is friend of sinners. Through this feast, you grant us the communion of the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And all God's people said, Amen. Please take your Sing the Journey book and turn to number 46. Number 46. I'm going to ask Kristen to play through the song as we listen to it, and then we'll sing together.
Benediction. I will read all of the first part, and you will read the very last line. Go now, sent by the one who is sent by God. Walk in the light, testify to the resurrection, forgive the sins of all, and live at peace with one another. And may God bless you with life forever. More. Forever. May Christ Jesus breathe his Spirit and peace into you. And may the Holy Spirit lead you into the life and light of God. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Go in peace.